Welcome to the Stacey Ennis Show, a podcast about writing, solopreneurship, travel, and really living the life you want. I'm your host, Stacey Ennis, coming to you from the beautiful island of Phuket, Thailand. I had planned to start this episode with great sound, with a new microphone setup, but living in a developing country, it's often quite difficult to do things that would normally be pretty easy in the US. So over the past week, I have gone pretty much everywhere I could think of, with one exception. I still need to try to find a couple of very small things to finish up my mic setup. I have a decent microphone I brought from the US. So it's been interesting. I had to order some cords from America that were shipped over. It took a few weeks. So this podcasting thing is really a journey for me. I also kind of have no idea what I'm doing. So I'm experimenting, and it's been a lot of fun, but it's also been a lot of hours just trying to figure out what in the world I'm doing. So thanks for bearing with me on the sound. I anticipate that it's going to be like this actually for a couple more months because we are moving. We're leaving Thailand in a couple months and heading back to my hometown of Idaho, Boise, Idaho, for about 4 months before we head on to our next adventure, which I will share about soon. In any case, this week I am back with another question, and I love spending these episodes responding to questions because it really takes me back to when I was new in my business and just the constant questions I had and the constant struggles I had. And it's really neat to be able to give back to you, the listener, and hopefully help you with your business. Now, a little context, because I realized in the first episode I didn't share exactly where these questions were coming from. So I co-founded a group in my home city several years ago, and we have an online community. And so most of these questions are coming from that online community. These are all editors and writers. Many of them have jobs. Many of them don't. It's kind of split there. But all of them aspire to grow really profitable businesses and lead great lives. So I feel like their questions are so on point, whether you're a writer or an editor or a designer, photographer, some kind of service-based solopreneur, meaning you run your business yourself and maybe you have a small team, but it's not a huge company, it's you. These questions, I think, apply really well to nearly any service-based entrepreneur. So with that, let me read this week's question. This person writes, I recently left a corporate job and am building my freelance business and can use any tips you have to share. I've been doing occasional writing, editing projects, and magazine articles all along, but I do not have a robust client base and would like to have a pipeline of 6 to 9 months out. I'm experienced and can write in a variety of voices, marketing, blogs, web, op-ed, magazine, video scripts, radio/television. I used to write and edit and voice full-time. I'm assuming that means voiceover. I'm not sure. full-time when I lived in the East, but that was 15 years ago. Any advice or help you can give in how to expand my client base is greatly appreciated. Also, this was in a follow-up message, also, how do I develop a consistent pipeline? And, especially as I'm building my business, have projects that are ongoing versus one-offs, creating value to my clients and becoming part of their process so I'm their go-to. Many thanks. So first of all, thank you so much for this question. It's a great question. Again, it just takes me right back to being an early solopreneur and navigating this kind of wild and crazy world of running your own business. So first of all, congrats to you on quitting your job, getting out there, putting yourself out there, looking for clients, hopefully delivering excellent work, and really making your dream happen. That's just wonderful. You should feel really proud of yourself about that. Now, I could truly, truly spend hours answering this question. So instead of doing that, because I don't think you'll hang with me for 8 or 10 hours, I broke my response into 3 core sections. And within each of those four core sections, within each of those 4, I've outlined a couple of points for each. So what that means is that I can't really totally and completely answer your question the way that I would love to if we were working together over several months, but I am going to do my very best to give you some great tips so that you can go out there and knock it out of the park with your business. So my 4 core sections, I'm going to talk about building the base. So this is kind of the launching point for your business, and really the base of your business, I guess, would be a better way to put that. I'm going to talk about finding clients, winning clients, and keeping clients. So let's start with building the base. One thing you talked about in your question is that you have the ability to do everything. And early on, that's great because you get to go out and experiment and figure out what you like, what you don't like, what kind of clients you enjoy working with, which you maybe don't want to work with as much in the future. You figure out what gives you energy and what drains you. And so that's good early on, but I get the sense from your message, you said you did this 15 years ago, so you've probably had time to experiment and to figure out what you really enjoy. So what I would recommend for you, since you're a bit more seasoned than, say, somebody coming out of graduate school or college or maybe coming out of a first job, you have more experience. So I would recommend spending some time understanding your ideal client and your ideal project, because being good at everything is good. That's good. But if you want to be really great and really attract the kind of clients you love working with, you need to get a whole lot more specific. So think about, what do you love to do? Who do you love to work with? I suggest spending some time thinking about this and also writing about this and getting really, really, really clear on your ideal clients and your ideal projects. Then everything you do focuses around that. So the content you write on your website targets those projects and those clients. Emails you send to your list, they're targeting, they're speaking to that particular client and that particular project. Marketing also gets a whole lot easier when you have a very specific thing you're doing. Within that same vein, my next piece of advice for building the base is to create a fantastic website. I mean it. Spend some time on this. It's so important, and people do not spend enough time on their websites. You need to target your ideal client with your copy. I cannot overemphasize how important your website is, and it's really, really easy to build one. You can build one with Squarespace, which you should be able to do yourself. For a very minimal investment, I think a couple $100 a year total, including hosting. If you want to build a little bit of a stronger base and be able to scale in the future, perhaps sell products or have some kind of coaching program hosted through your site or a variety of things, I would recommend building with WordPress, which is what I use on my site. I think it's a good thing to invest in a good website builder. I'm sorry, a website designer to build a website for you. If you have to spend your money somewhere, get some great headshots and get a great website. You know how to write, so you can do that yourself. Those are 2 great things to invest in. And lastly, for building the base, update your LinkedIn profile. So important. I put this off forever. And when I finally spent, it's a couple of hours. It doesn't take that long. When I finally took the time to update my LinkedIn profile, I had a new client, the highest dollar client I'd ever had, within 2 weeks. And since then, I have continued to have incoming clients through LinkedIn. All right, So that is building the base. Now let's talk about finding clients. One of the best things you can do to boost your visibility, to get in front of more people, is to write. You already have the skill of writing and editing, so why not put that to use for your business? I highly recommend writing articles about the area you want to be known in. So, for example, if you want to be a book ghostwriter, writing articles about ghostwriting, or if you want to edit fiction manuscripts, writing articles about editing fiction books, self-editing tips for authors, things like that. Anytime you write about something, people begin to see you as an expert. So be consistent with what you're writing about. Write to that target audience that you have defined, or target client that you've defined, and continue consistently creating content. You can also contribute to well-trafficked sites. So identify an influencer or a really popular site within your industry or niche, and then pitch them. If they accept your article, you can, and it's been successful, it's driving people to you, you can go back to them and ask to write another one. I have personally used this strategy. I had one article I wrote in 2013 that is still driving clients my way. I went back to that same website later and asked to write another article, and of course they said yes because it was really popular the first time. It's a great, great strategy. Of course, this is more of a long game because you can't just write one article and expect that you're going to get a flood of clients coming in. No, you have to continue to write and continue to put out your thought leadership to be seen as an expert, to drive Google your direction. The more you update your site, the higher your rankings are in Google. So it's really something you have to stick with. Next, since you are new in launching your business, that's a great opportunity to send an email to 200 to 300 or more of your closest contacts and let them know about your new business. Share your website with them and try to have one call to action at the end of your email, whether it's introducing you to somebody you might be able to serve or directing them to read an article you wrote. That can be a great way to just get in front of people. Everybody has their own lives going on, and it's likely that maybe they missed your Facebook announcement that you launched a business. So you got to keep getting in front of them, reminding them you're there. The great thing is that you're solving a problem, so they want to hear from you. People need your services. So get in front of them, stay connected with them through content and also through sending an initial email to your contacts. And you can make that more personalized because they're people you actually know. All right, we've talked about building the base, we've talked about finding clients, and now let's talk about winning clients. Winning clients is something that comes with experience, getting good at winning clients. But there's a couple of pieces of advice I can give you. First of all, vet quickly. So what that means is that you're very quickly determining whether somebody is a good fit or not, and meaning either they're a good fit for you or you're a good fit for them. I used to spend a lot of time talking with people who never ended up becoming clients. And while I deeply believe that every human interaction, you learn something from every human interaction, and so I never see that as a waste, I also used a lot of my precious time and energy meeting with people in person, spending a lot of energy giving them advice and talking through their projects with, honestly, people that never could have maybe afforded to hire me or were never really serious about it, or we really were not a good fit for each other. One way to vet quickly is to ask questions. So I always, in my work, depending on whether it's a coaching client, consulting client, or speaking engagement, or a ghostwriting client, I always reply and ask them a relatively open-ended question. And part of the reason I do this is because, number one, I want to see if they're going to put in the energy to respond to me, because what I find is that somebody gets inspired and they'll send me an email, but there's not really anything on the other side of that. The next day they wake up and they're they've kind of lost their motivation. So I want to see if they have still maintained the excitement, enthusiasm, and energy to send me an email reply, a detailed email reply. And I also get a sense of their personality, a good idea about their project, and that helps me decide if we are a good fit for each other. Another good way to vet quickly is after you have exchanged a couple of emails, you have somebody schedule a call with you. I really like online schedulers because, number one, they save you a bunch of time, and number two, you can set it for 15-minute time slots. So what that means is somebody schedules a call with you, and it's a 15-minute call, so it's not too much time. And if you're interested in the project, you can go as long as you want, but if it's not a good fit, in 15 minutes, it's going to be done, and you can give them some recommendations for the next steps. Always, always start with a call, never in person. Almost never should the very first conversation be in person. There's a lot of reasons for that. My biggest one is that it just takes hours of time. Even if it's a 30-minute meeting, you have to get ready, drive, wait, meet the person, pay your bill if you're meeting somewhere, or close up your office if you're meeting at a location that is yours. And it just is a lot of time and energy that really should not be used at the first interaction. Again, there's lots and lots of tips I could give you here. I really should do a whole episode on winning clients, or even just vetting clients could be a whole episode. But the idea is to figure out quickly if somebody is a good fit or not. My next tip under winning clients is to get good at sales. This is way underemphasized for solopreneurs, but really your success is going to be determined by how good of a salesperson you are. To me, sales really is about listening, caring about the other person, and being confident in your value. My rule of thumb is to listen on this initial call, that first call, 60 to 70% of the time. I start by asking them questions. I let them talk for most of the call. I take notes. Then I reflect back some things that I heard that were interesting or connected with me or that I want to bring up. And then I deliver value to the person. So there's a point that they've made where they're confused or they're not sure about, and I can quickly give them some value on that call. Then I share my process and a rough investment about what it'll cost to work with me. Back in the day, early in my career, I used to wait for so long to share the cost, the investment of working with me. And what I found is that it just ended up dragging things along. I'd rather be really upfront about it and make sure we're on the same page. And I'm always happy to send somebody along to a better fit investment-wise. I'd rather know that now, and I think they would also rather know that now than later. That's the question everybody wants answered on that first call anyway. I mean, they want to see if you're a good fit for them, but they want to know how much it's going to cost and if you're even within their range. All right. So, we've talked about building the base, we've talked about finding clients, we've talked about winning clients. Now let's talk about keeping clients. Okay, three tips on this one. Number one, do amazing, jaw-dropping work no matter what. Excellence is the goal. Always, always, always. Forget what they're paying you, especially early on. I always delivered, early in my career, I always delivered whatever the project needed versus what I was getting paid. And that was because I had a long view of the income I wanted and the life I wanted. And I knew that in order to earn high-paying clients, I was going to have to do excellent, excellent, excellent work. I remember one of my very first projects, the person that hired me, she was a publisher, had hired me, and the project, I was just making peanuts on it. I mean, I really wasn't making very much money. And she said, I mean, it was like a few hundred, it was hundreds. It was just in the low hundreds. And she said, you did thousands of dollars of work on this project. And I was actually really taken aback because I thought, well, shouldn't, I mean, this is what it needed. But this idea of no matter what, you always deliver excellence because that excellence will bring you more clients. It's just the way things work. If you do excellent work, they will tell people, your client will tell people about you. You will begin to build a reputation and you will have no competitors. Okay, that's number one. Do amazing, jaw-dropping work no matter what. Number two is be easy to work with. This means that don't send them super long detailed emails. Don't make extra work for them. If there's anything you can do to take less work off of their plate, do it. Even little things. For example, one of the things I started implementing recently is recording a short video for people to show them everything that they need to know versus scheduling a call, which can take up a lot of time for them. And they also have it as a reference. So I record a 10-minute video. It would normally be a 30-minute call. And they have it as a reference they can look back at and touch base on when they need it. Other small things, don't send an email every day if it's a long project. Check in once a week at least if it's a very long project, or twice a week if it's a shorter project. But it's just a quick, everything's going great email. Bundle up all your questions for as long as you can and send those out. Just make it simple. Next, with keeping clients, is to follow up with them every couple of months to say hello and check in. Now, if you've been creating content, you're going to stay in front of them anyway. They are going to be thinking about you because they're going to be getting your emails, assuming they don't unsubscribe, or they'll be following you on social media, or they'll be in touch with you in some way. But you can also follow up with them every couple of months. I know there's great software for this. I have not implemented any of it. What I often do is I just print out my client list in QuickBooks and I go through and send emails to everybody and say hello and I make it personalized. Staying in touch with people keeps you on their mind and makes it more likely they'll hire you in the future. So those are my four kind of broad categories on answering your very complex but great question on building the base, finding clients, winning clients, keeping clients. I think that the last thing I would say that connects to all of those is just to treat your business like a business and to always be doing the work, but also doing the things that you need to do to attract clients. It can get very easy to just get really focused on a project because it seems all-consuming, but you have to stay connected to your marketing. Marketing, I'm doing air quotes, you can't see obviously, but marketing being really about delivering value to people and staying in front of them. So when they need somebody, you're there. When they do a Google search, you're there. When somebody is looking for a recommendation, you're the name that comes up because you did such awesome work for somebody. Thank you so much for that question. It was an excellent question, and I wish I could talk for hours and go through more of your specific needs for your business, but I hope you find those useful. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you found this information useful for your business. If you have questions or want to drop me a note, you can find me at stacyennis.com. Click connect in the navigation and send me an email. I will be back with another episode at some point, probably next week. Thanks for hanging with me. I'm so enjoying this new way of connecting with you, and I hope you are too. Still here. Great. Well, let me tell you a little bit about my latest co-authored book with Ron Price called Growing Influence. Growing Influence is a story about a young woman named Emily, she's 30 years old, who meets an older retired CEO named David. And throughout the book, Emily really develops what I can only describe as self-awareness. She begins to become aware of the control and influence she has both in her life and in her work. It's a story I have just absolutely fallen in love with, even though I know I'm one of the co-authors, so of course I would, but really, it's just a book that moves me every single time I read it. You can get Growing Influence anywhere books are sold, certainly on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and hopefully at your local bookstore as well. Again, it's Growing Influence. It's by Ron Price and me, Stacey Ennis. What did we do tonight?
We went and saw the beach.
Uh-huh. What did we have for dinner?
Indian food.
Yeah. And what did we do while we were when we were done? Where did we go and what did we do?
We went and saw the beach and just walked and ran around a bit.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
You did fall, didn't you? What do you guys like about living in Thailand?
Candy. Yeah.
Max, what do you like about living in Thailand?
Elephants.
Elephants?
Yeah.
That's a good thing to love. What else?
Kitties and elephants and stray dogs.
Stray dogs?
Yeah.
They're pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you miss about being home?
Pretty Kitty Bright and Witty, my book.
Your book?
Yeah. And my bunny blanket.
Your bunny blanket, yeah.
It's in all my baby stuff.
Is there anything else?
Well, I really miss going on Ferris wheels and going to the fair.
Hmm.
And I really miss getting a show and everything.
Max, what do you miss about being in America?
Feeding
the elephants. I don't think we ever did that in America.
We did hike up on Vogus.
That's true.
And we saw Kitty's kitten, and she hopped on Mommy's head and bit her and ate her all gone and licked her and scratched her.
Yep. That totally happened.
Yeah.